wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gridiron Guys, your home of the NFL south of the equator. Back again after another huge week in all things NFL, breaking news and so forth. Joined with me as always is my good friend and confidant, Cammy B. How you going, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Zach. How are you, mate?
Brilliant as ever.
Huge week this week, hasn't it?
Massive. It cannot get any bigger. Well,
yeah.
Until the season actually starts.
Yeah, that's true. We've got a while to then. I guess before we start today's episode, I think we could probably just a bit of housekeeping. Socials are looking pretty good at the moment. We're getting more followers gaining and people hitting us up in the inbox wanting to join us. So that's pretty exciting.
Very. Always good to catch up with new and existing people.
Yeah, absolutely. And then maybe there's a prospect of guests further down the track, but we'll see how that goes. I think, yeah, I know. You were saying to me the other day, I think we're now live on Apple Podcasts. Is that right?
We are, for all those who are Spotify, I don't want to say retarded, but Spotify neglectors, Apple Podcasts, we are up and running on there for those who are in that way inclined. So if your name is Stephen Meikle, please indulge yourself in our episodes. Go back to the start if you want, or just hit us up straight from the beginning and come along for the ride.
Perfect. Well, I think that sort of sounds for housekeeping. So big news this week.
The GOAT of our era, of our receivers. Help me, help you. Come home, Julio. Come home.
Biggest news in a while, the Julio Jones trade has finally happened. So looking at the numbers and the trades, I think, what did we see? Traded to the Titans. And so what, Falcons got a second and a fourth for Julio and a sixth. Who do you reckon wins that?
Huge. Titans, easy. I mean, for myself, I've always been a fan of, you know, going to the draft and picking up, you know, your future. But as they always say, an established, you know, player will always be better than a draft pick. And I think that rings true, especially on this pick. You know, Julio, possibly towards the end of his career, but definitely still balling out.
Oh, 100%. And I think, yeah, I reckon they're probably the immediate winners. Looking at, like, yeah, he's 32, injury history lately, but he's just so good. He's been a top a wide receiver for the last however many years. Titans got a steal there. I know Falcons got what they wanted in turn. Well, not what they wanted, but they got something in return and they got the money off their books to get under the cap space, which is fine. But I think, yeah, that makes Titans a pretty good contender now. I did see today Titans restructured Tannehill's contract to make up the cap space. And Julio, I mean, he talked about wanting to go to a contender and a quarterback with a big arm. I guess that probably wasn't our first thought when you think quarterback with a big arm, do you?
No, not really. So I think it's definitely just going for that contender, really. I mean, even though, you know, Tannehill, not famous for his big arm, he's definitely at least gone to an offense where that he's not the number one guy, I suppose. Well, I suppose he probably will end up as wide receiver one, but, you know, you've still got AJ Brown there. But he's also got Derrick Henry as well. And I suppose that's going to push a lot of the rushing attack, and it's going to force that sort of secondary and those safeties to sort of push up towards that line. And it is going to leave a lot of space out the back of the field there for Julio to go and play in. So I think that's probably what he's more aiming for, you know, a bit more space to run around in, but also just that he's in a championship team, essentially. They're in their championship window now.
Oh, absolutely. And it does make them a massive threat. The triple-headed offense is bloody tough to beat. I think the Tannehill thing sort of threw me. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't really think he's that great. But I was looking at numbers, and there was a thing here comparing him to Pat Mahomes, and they're saying, how good has he been since taking over? So they had like 24 starts for each players. So Tannehill has a better quarterback rating, less yards than Mahomes, which is fair, more total touchdowns by 5, same amount of intercepts, and his completion percentage is 1% better. So, I mean, it's actually very decent.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's definitely one to watch, really, isn't it? And it surely, you know, makes the Titans go up in the championship predictions. I know I did see they're pretty much a lock to take their own division at least, let's be honest.
Yeah, you'd think so, because they were fighting out with the Colts for that, and people had Colts number one, but I reckon they might be changing that now.
Yeah, correct. And I think so, as we've seen, they've built their sort of this elite offense now. So, and that's definitely going to push them all the way through the playoffs. But I think probably still their biggest concern is going to be what we've seen in the past is that offenses can get you to the final day, but the defense will win you the championship on the day. And so, I mean, for them, they lost Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson to free agency over the summer, but they did pick up Brad Dupree.
Yeah, Brad Dupree is very good. And I did. Were they the ones that picked up Caleb Farley, one of the better corners in the draft?
They did. And I think that was sort of like they were talking about this as a bit of a risk because he's coming off a serious back surgery. So with the 22nd pick in the draft, however, consensus was when he's healthy, he's easily the number one cornerback in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. So they kind of had a plan in place just to sort of strengthen that defense, not knowing, but on the contingency plan that they did get Julio and strengthen up that offense. So look, they've built a pretty good offense and it makes it pretty scary for the AFC. It makes them another contender on top of the ones that are already up there.
Yeah, it's getting heavy at the top of the AFC, isn't it?
Yeah. Looking at the AFC as well, I did see today Ravens, after we talked about Juwan James the other week and injuries outside of the training centers, Ravens picked up Juwan James on a 2-year deal. I did see it was worth about $9 million, but it's not too bad this year. I think they said they were paying him $500K in 2021, which is only a $250,000 cap hit. And I guess it's based on how he goes. So when I look at it this way, I think if all goes well and he comes back, you can kind of get a first round talent or what he was in the past for a lower price. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, it's pretty low risk v high reward type stuff. So, which I'm always a big fan about, you know, and I think when you've got with the Ravens and, you know, as we said, this AFC is going to be so hard to win, you've really just got to try everything. You've got to throw out a couple of risks here and there and hope that they come home and bang, you get that sweet, sweet reward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you said, low risk, high reward, that's pretty much what they're looking at with this.
Yeah, big fan of that. Well, is that breaking news?
That is breaking news. Let's move on to our next topic.
No way. No way.
Hey, buddy.
Yes.
Welcome to Canton, Ohio.
Oh, my God.
You're going to be enshrined as one of the best of all times, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Hall of Fame. We are talking about Hall of Fame and Hall of Fame careers, potential and otherwise. I think a big thing that we want to talk about, though, here in this discussion, and please get in touch with us and throw us your thoughts, but we're going to lay down our law, is sort of, you know, is a Hall of Fame career defined by winning or, you know, playoff success, winning a championship and playoff success, considering, you know, all sorts of numbers that are getting thrown around these days. Is it imperative for a player to need to win a Super Bowl for them to be looked at for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think that's a really tough question. I was listening to a few things the other day and some guy said, for someone to be in the Hall of Fame, they need to be top five in their position for 2 contract years. So that's like 7 to 8 years. So, I mean, that makes it pretty tough to do. So I think he's saying not just stats, not just wins, titles, awards, they help. But if you're just that top person in your position for a length of time.
Yeah. And I think especially going around, you're looking at all these stats that are getting thrown around now. The league is becoming very pass heavy. So a lot of those stats that were big back in the day and those guys that are in the Hall of Fame now are getting dwarfed quite easily. I mean, we can have a look at, for example, Tony Romo. Tony Romo is going to be an interesting topic coming into, you know, when his Hall of Fame ballot year comes around, essentially. So I think statistically, he, you know, based on, as we said, the other previous Hall of Famers, he's putting up numbers that rival, you know, shoo-ins like Breeze, Manning, and Brady. And he's also the Cowboys' all-time passing and touchdown leader. But as we sort of said, you know, it's, you can't just really look at stats these days because the game has changed and, you know, era to era is not really comparable anymore. I know we love to judge, you know, guys from 10 or 20 years ago with the guys who are playing now and see who would be better in which era. But it's very hard to with just pure base stats.
Yeah, I guess it's a completely different game. And as the game shifts and adapts to different styles and, I mean, just the improvements in technology and the improvements in physical performance and all those sort of things, I guess it's hard to judge against previous years. So you got to look at them on like an individual basis, sometimes against others. But yeah, you're right with Romo. That's a really tough one because statistics-wise, yeah, I mean, you could put a case up for him. He didn't really win any awards. He didn't really win any championships or anything like that, but he was a very quality player for a decent amount of time. So I guess the question mark's there, will he make it in?
Well, I mean, yeah, and you put him up against the last Cowboys quarterback, Troy Aikman, who managed to make it into the Hall of Fame. But you look back at his record, his stats, you know, not as good as Romo, but he took the Cowboys to 3 Super Bowls, whereas Romo only had 2 wins in the playoffs, I think out of 6 attempts, was it? And no Super Bowls. So it's really looking at that clutch gene, I think. You know, you need that clutch because that's what people remember.
Yeah, and I think that's where some of the other guys get that edge over him when they've sort of got to those championship games or won Super Bowls. Even if they're similar, like completely similar across the board in stats-wise, those wins count for something and those championships absolutely count. So, I mean, I don't think if he doesn't make it in, I'm not going to be disappointed. I can see why he'd be in. But, like, when you start putting in guys that maybe don't deserve it, not don't deserve it, but probably aren't up to the standard, when you lower the standard, I feel like it lowers the value of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, correct. I mean, another guy that puts his name up there with stats-wise is probably Phillip Rivers. You know, he gets thrown around a lot these days as well. He was Mr. Consistent, always there. And I think other than that, that was about all he did. He was just there every year. And, you know, but again, as you just sort of said, if we bring that bar down lower for him, you know, it brings in guys like Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins as well, who have had the same sort of stats over those years with these guys. And, I mean, they don't really shout out Hall of Fame, do they?
No, that doesn't scream Hall of Fame to me. And you're right. If you start bringing in guys lower down that list, then it puts other guys into the conversation that that wouldn't normally be in the conversation. So I think it's a really hard line to draw. So, I mean, I've sort of come up with a game here and I'm going to say, I'll probably ask you a few players and we'll say Hall of Fame or Hall of Shame. I know it's hard saying, harsh saying Hall of Shame. But I'll list a player, you say Hall of Fame or Hall of Shame, give us your reasons why or why not, and I'll say why I think the same thing or different. So first one, Drew Brees.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Hall of Fame. I think he's got the credentials, he's got the statistics, like he's just top of the list in quarterback, passing, yards, touchdowns, all those sort of things. So that one's a pretty easy one, we'll settle for an easy one. Phillip Rivers, like you said before, would you have him or no?
I don't think I would, to be honest. As I said before, you know, Phillip Rivers, he has got the stats up there, but he's just, he doesn't have that sort of, I suppose, wow factor outside of, you know, his, I suppose, his stats. Like, he doesn't have any wins. He's been to a couple of Pro Bowls, but let's be honest, the Pro Bowls really count these days. Like, especially when majority of the time guys pull out and, you know, I swear Rivers has been in there 3 or 4 times because he's been the second or third quarterback called up. So really, I don't know if it really needs to add that much to his resume, should it? Like,
yeah, look, I don't know. Sometimes Pro Bowl, like, I guess you look at it as they're the top player, whether they play the game or not, it's kind of pointless. But I guess it can be viewed as a reason why they'd be in. So I'm on the fence about Rivers. I'm probably leaning towards no, but I can see him probably getting in there. Next up, this is probably why the conversation got brought up. This guy, Julian Edelman, Hall of Fame for you or no?
Ooh, I mean, as I think we mentioned him a week or two ago, but his stats, like when I looked at his overall stats, they just didn't jump out of me on the paper. Like the amount of touchdowns he scored wasn't actually that many over his career, I think. But the fact is that he's had 3 Super Bowl wins. One was a Super Bowl MVP as well. I mean, I think that puts him in that conversation. It's hard because, again, it's like he's had those wins, but he just doesn't have that sort of wow factor. But he was so great and always reliable. So I think I'd probably lean on the side of, again, like he's had those wins. I think I'm going to let him in. Maybe not a first ballot, though.
No, I think I absolutely agree with you there. When I first looked at him on paper, I'm like, oh, is he Hall of Fame quality? But looking further into it, so he has 2 seasons of 100-plus catches, which is the only other person, someone that's similar to him in there, Randy Moss. He has 2, and Megatron only has 1. And then he is 1 of 3 wide receivers that has 3 Super Bowls and a Super Bowl MVP. So he joins the likes of Jerry Rice and Lynn Swan. So he's up with some pretty big names. And then another thing was 75% of his catches came in wins. So is he just that go-to guy for Brady that got them the drives, got them the wins? I'd put him in the Hall of Fame just purely based on that sort of thing.
Yeah, God, he was always that guy on those, you know, those third down and longs. And you thought, oh, thank Christ, the Patriots are going to have to punt it away. But then that throw to Edelman, I was like, oh, my God, here it is again. You could script it every time. It was so annoying.
Oh, as people who weren't huge fans of the Pats when they were dominating, yeah, it was so hard to watch. And he pulled out clutch, like Brady was clutch, and you just throw to Edelman and they just do what they needed to do to get the win. It was very frustrating.
Yeah, correct.
Eli Manning.
Eli Manning. Geez, I was going to mention him. He's in the same breath as Ben Roethlisberger, I think, sometimes. You know, these guys that have won those championships, but they just don't scream elite, do they? Like, and I think, I don't know. Like, because they were there and they were good, you know, they were dominated in the class, but they were never, like, as you said, top five as well. I mean, it is hard to go through years of Breeze, Manning and Brady. However, yeah. I mean, sorry, Peyton Manning, but... You know, they did win those championships. I kind of lean towards no, almost on the sense of like Eli, I feel like we've had a bad taste left in our mouth after his last couple of years towards the end of his career as the Giants, which, you know, shouldn't affect a guy's career, but it does always, doesn't it, sometimes?
Oh, 100%. The way you go out and sign it, yeah, kind of tarnishes what you've done in the past. For me, I was on the fence about this one. The two wins in the Super Bowl, and it was your two-time Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so I think those really help his case. Plus, he's top 10 in yards and I think maybe touchdowns. So he's got the numbers there, and I guess without him, the whole Brady saga, like, it takes an interesting turn purely on the fact that Eli made those big throws in the big game, so he came up clutch there. So I guess there's a case for him, but, again, I don't really know whether he deserves it.
Yeah, and again, if we... it's again, maybe these are guys that you're more looking at. Probably not first ballot, but maybe more that second or third type ballot Hall of Famers. Yeah. It's a tough one, that's for sure.
Yep. All right, next one, Matt Ryan.
I'm going to go no.
yeah, no, I'm with you there. So for me, basically just looking at that, he's not Hall of Fame. Not enough wins. I didn't realize this, but six of the last eight seasons have been a losing record. And there's no quarterback in the league that has had more stats in games lost. So I don't know if he's just padding stats, doing the old Russell Westbrook, but yeah.
Geez, he is very deceptive, isn't he? When you say that, I'm sort of like, did they really lose that much? But then again, you know, they were never there. They were just there that sort of 1 year, weren't they, where they just blew everyone out and he was real Matty Ice, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's in a division that's not really sometimes always that strong. Like, Bucks are a bit of a basket case for years. Panthers had a couple of good years with Cam Newton. I mean, Saints are always solid with Breeze, so that was their contender. But there's games, yeah, their losing record doesn't really help his case. So he's not a Hall of Famer for me.
No, not at all.
So we'll move away from some quarterbacks here. Julio Jones.
Ooh, Julio. I think... It's a tough one for me because I think sometimes when we're talking about quarterbacks and we're talking about positional players, it really looks into a lot of like, okay, stats are one thing, but championships and I think being able to leave your team to victory are the number one. But when it comes to someone, say, like a wide receiver or potentially a running back as well, you know, I don't think they should be judged as hard as a quarterback. So I think for me, Julio is probably up there in conversation, but I think... not quite yet, I don't feel, for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. In a few more years, we'll probably be able to get a better picture. For me right now, I would say yes, based on, I think what I was reading is he has the most in history, most receiving yards per game, with like 96 per game, which is outrageous. And I think when we're talking about if you're a top five in your position for amount of years, he's just consistently top five. Yeah, so I'd probably have him in, but yeah, you're right. It could be a little bit early. I've got Jason Witten next.
Oh, man.
yeah, there's some curly ones here, but it means,
yeah. I'm going to have to say, I'm going to lean on the side of no again, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got yes. I've got most receiving yards and receptions in Dallas history. So he's got more than some of those other blokes who played some of those like years when Cowboys were dominating. Second most yards and receptions by a tight end ever behind Tony Gonzalez, who I think probably is already in the Hall of Fame. And he had a great college career. I know that doesn't really play a factor in it, but I'd have him in there. Yeah, sorry. Next, Frank Gore.
This is another one I think we were talking about before about being Mr. Consistency. Hey, isn't he? He's coming up to, God, I don't even know what year he's in the league now.
And as 16 or 17 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, and look, I know Brady's he's 20th or something like that. But
yeah, Frank Gore, his position's less impactful, isn't it?
Oh, 16 years as a running back is a lot of hard yards. I mean,
yeah.
But again, when it comes to sort of running backs, Frank Gore, you know, he's sort of been consistent and, you know, he's had a lot of 1,000-yard seasons and things like that, but I don't think he's ever actually ranked in the top, that top sort of echelon of running backs in his years. So he's always been there or thereabouts, but he's never been in the top elite and things like that. So he's always been consistent, but never able to had that breakthrough year or things like that. You know, like how some running backs like Adrian Peterson, you know, Vikings days where he just deleted everyone that ran towards him. I just feel like Frank Gore for me doesn't have anything like that. And that's why I'm going to sit on the side of no again.
Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head there. When I was looking at it, 16 years, and you think, holy crap, he's been playing for 16 years. That's such a long time. He has been a top five running back one time in those 16 years. So you're right. In terms of that, he's not in that top question. Like in the top end of the year, you're looking at, oh, these are the top five running backs for the year. He's never really been in that debate. Like longevity and pure numbers of games, like outstanding. But outside of that, he's just been sort of playing for such a long time, but there's nothing else really to it. So I'm also agreeing with you there. I don't think he's Hall of Fame. He probably will go in because he's third on the highest on the list of yards ever, but he's just been playing for such a long time. But it's a no for me.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Ooh, now, this is an interesting one. I think with what I've been saying before, I think I'm going to have to sit on the side of no, but he definitely comes around and he has that wow factor that I've been talking about a lot, you know, just that clutch gene, and some of his stats are obviously going to be big, especially with some of the offenses that he was, you know, in towards that end of, as we said, Eli's career and those Giants. Obviously he had the catch that nerfed the internet essentially, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, if you were looking at his projection after the first 4 years, he'd 100% be in. The numbers he put up in his first 4 years were phenomenal. But looking at since then, I know he's had injuries. Since then, Cole Beasley, Jameson Crowder, Austin Hooper, and backup tight end Cameron Brait have more yards than Odell Beckham over the last 4 years.
Yeah, I don't want to say he just hasn't really gone about his business very gracefully, has he? And as you said, injuries, but he just hasn't been able to light the world up. And this is it. It's a Hall of Fame career. It's not just your first year. It's not just your last year. It's all the way through, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, you're right there. So that's, for me, he's a no.
Yeah, love it.
Cam Newton.
Oh, man. Again, this is going to be a hard one. But I think I'm going to lean on the side of yes, because I think although he didn't sort of get – he didn't win that championship in the end. You know, he got beaten by Denver, elite game by Von Miller, just saying. Anyways, won't reminisce too much here. But I think for me, you know, that year especially, but also the years kind of leading up to it, it wasn't just that one, like he broke out in that MVP year and just dominated. Like that was ridiculous what he did there. But those years sort of leading up to it were also quite fairly dominant as well. And so I think that leads to it. You know, obviously the last couple of years haven't been so great, but we could see a resurgence here, I think, which could potentially lift him into this.
Yeah, look, I'm probably going to have to disagree with you here. I agree with how those years where he was dominant, geez, he was good and unstoppable. Like running in the red zone was just so hard to beat, and he was throwing pretty well at that stage. For me, it's a no. I don't think he's got enough wins in his career. I think 7 of the last 10 seasons where he's been a quarterback were losing ones. And again, he was in that division. We're saying like Matty Ryan, where it's not that strong all the time.
It's a deceptive little division, isn't it?
Oh, it is, absolutely. And I think I heard this the other day, since he has entered the league, of quarterbacks with 3,000 passing attempts, he has the worst accuracy at 60%.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's not hugely accurate. And I know he runs a lot, but yeah, he's a no for me in terms of wins. If he got that Super Bowl, does that change the narrative? But no, he's a no for me. Next is Ezekiel Elliott.
Ooh, Zeke boy. Look, early days, I think I'm going to have to go no again. He had a really dominant start to his career, didn't he? And he just ate people up. But he's sort of coming out of that sort of era of those running backs from college. Remember, thought it was sort of him, and then there was Saquon Barkley. And he did sort of start out red hot. But I think recently again, and you don't want to say it's sort of been the whole Dallas Cowboys woes, but he just hasn't really kept it up yet. And they definitely haven't made a splash in the playoffs yet either with him.
No, you're absolutely bang on. I've got to know. And you're right. His rookie season was outstanding. But he is the only running back ever to regress in yards and stats in the continuous 5 seasons. So from his first season to his most recent one, he has dropped yardage every single year.
Yeah, geez. That's slow fall from grace.
Yeah, 100%. If he continued on his trajectory from that first season, he'd be in the question for sure. Like, that his first year was unbelievable. But since then, like, he just, I don't know if he's just isn't as dominant anymore. All right, final one. Could be very early on this one. Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh, Patty Mahomes. I think, very early. But I think, yes, look, he's gone out. He already won an MVP. He's already won a Super Bowl. He's been to a second Super Bowl as well. Granted, he didn't win it, but he's dominated out in the playoffs as well. So has the wins on the board. I don't know if he obviously doesn't have any sort of career passing yards or anything like that yet. I can't think of the top of my head if he has any season records just quite yet, but he's definitely making a name for himself and they're only getting better. So you can imagine that even if he doesn't win another Super Bowl, I think they still make playoff wins and things like that to, you know, just add to his resume. And I think it's probably going to be enough.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It is very early, but you're right. In terms of numbers that he's putting up and the projection for him, Super Bowl already, MVP already, already made another Super Bowl. Like, they're going to be contenders, as you said, for the next 5 to 10 years in the AFC. And looking at, like, quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame, I think the lowest win number is 65 wins, and he already has 38 as a starting quarterback. So, I mean, he's well on his way. He's got some accolades. I think it's very early, but you can see it being a Hall of Fame career right off the bat, can't you?
Love it.
All right. I think that wraps us up for Hall of Fame. If anyone, when people are listening to this, we'd love to hear if our takes are wrong or anyone you consider that could be Hall of Fame potential that we didn't mention.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. You ain't getting Shut your ass up.
I'm in man-to-man coverage. You got to try to beat me. Let's see if you can do it. I got me. Big trap, they roll. Hey, just like we used to do in practice, boy.
Now we move on to, we're going to talk about a few players now. And as you may have just heard in the soundbite before, that was a little bit of mic'd up Jalen Ramsey, everybody's favorite cornerback in the league. Loves to create that narrative.
I absolutely love Jalen Ramsey and the way he goes about things. I mean, he just riles people up, riles the fans up. It's just the best to watch.
God, and he's not quiet on the socials either. He's very vocal out there. And even on interviews and things like that, he's not short of a word.
No, 100%. And the funny thing is, like, he can back it up. He's a very quality cornerback. Like, he'd probably be top five in the league, easy. And he just backs up his talk, and it just, I think it frustrates everyone that isn't a fan of the team that he's on. But I love it. Like, I think he's so great. And, yeah, he probably can talk a bit of trash sometimes, but I really like him.
I think what makes it more fun as well is that sort of, like, cornerback versus wide receiver is probably the only position on the field where it's sort of like a pure one versus one, you know, player versus player. I know that, like, obviously guys, you know, on the lines and things like that, you know, the O-line and the D-line are probably lining up against each other, but there's a lot of switching around there and double teaming and things like that. But a lot of the time it's that, yeah, corner versus wide receiver, and it's every snap is a contest, you know, whether it's a pass play or it's a run play. You know, they've got to face up each other all the time. And I just love that. And he obviously brings the fight and all the chat as well.
Yeah, it's the best. He gets the wide receiver one pretty much every snap. So his work is cut out for him from the get-go. So he's got to play with that physicality and that mental game to try and beat, like, Hopkins and Allen Robinson, all those kind of guys that he gets to face. Like, it's bloody brilliant to watch.
Yeah, and look, he balled out last year, didn't he? He had a great season with the Rams. You know, they ended up sort of winning that wild card matchup against the Seahawks. And in the three times that they actually played the Seahawks last year, he doubled down on DK. So every time he lined up on DK, he kept him pretty quiet. You know, DK only had four catches over those three games.
That's enormous. For a DK who is, like, people didn't predict him to go too well out of the draft, but he's just dominated running those good routes over the top. But yeah, that's huge. Keeping him to four catches in that amount of games is unreal.
Yeah, and again, he had a couple others. I'll rattle off a few more. And these are the times that obviously Ramsey lined up with them. So,
yeah,
you know, he started off the year pretty well with week one. You know, Amari Cooper, Cooper got seven catches for 57 yards. You know, the Rams still won that game. It wasn't too bad. But then he doubled it up with week three versus Stephon Diggs. He only got one catch for 4 yards. That was a TD. That's pretty handy. And then, you know, 100%. Going on to players like Allen Robinson to only have one catch while he was on him and Mike Evans to only have four catches on him. And it's pretty good, especially considering the Tampa Bay did end up winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, he's kept some of the best guys in the league to some seriously low numbers. And I think that's what he does. He just gets in their head and frustrates them and just annoys them out of the game. Like, his trash talk, if you can listen to it, get on YouTube and listen to some of his trash talk during the games when he's mic'd up.
Yeah, it's bloody great. Brilliant. And I think as well, he's just, his coverage is so good that a lot of the time, like, the ball doesn't get thrown out that way, because you sort of see he only took one interception last year. And I think he only sort of had about half a dozen or so pass defense. So he's really just sort of there to man up and not create an option and really lock down that guy.
Yeah, 100%. People don't go to him. When they see him out there, they don't go to their number one receiver. They're kind of scared to go out there. And that just changes the game for the Rams. Him and Aaron Donald on the same defense just really puts him into that top five category for defense, doesn't it?
It's massive, isn't it? And I think he's got a few interesting matchups this year. Obviously, he's got some interdivisional ones again against DeAndre Hopkins and DK Metcalf. He gets another shot at Mike Evans and the Bucs, but also he gets to play our new boy, Julio Jones and AJ Brown, the Titans, this year. That Perfect. Is going to be a lot of fun.
That's very juicy. Yeah, it makes for such good matchups this year. So I'm actually pretty keen to watch some of the Rams games purely for that.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. But I think sort of the interesting thing is, do you take him as the number one corner in the league? I mean, you got guys like, I'm probably going to mess this up, Jair Alexander from the Packers, Marlon Humphreys and Stephon Gilmore. And there's even Tre'Davious White from the Bills.
Yeah, and I think there's blokes like Xavier Howard from Miami and James Bradbury. The top 5 to 10 cornerbacks in the league is always such a contentious argument, because everyone that supports their own team's like, oh, our guy's the best. He's the best in the league. He's the best cover corner. There is an argument across those top 5, 6, 7 that you could put him interchangeably anywhere. He could be top or he could be 5, but yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's a huge day, but again, something to watch out for this year. I'm very excited.
Yeah, 100%. Just a quick thing on him. Like, I was reading some of his quotes during the week. I can't remember what year it was, and he just rattled, like in an interview, he just rattled off every quarterback in the league and just made his comment on him. Like, looking at a few here, Josh Allen, he's trash. Mayfield, get how he was picked the top. Flacco, he sucks. Rodgers doesn't suck. Brady doesn't suck. Watson will be an MVP. Wentz will be an MVP. So yeah, some of them he's not right on. Prescott, he's okay. Andrew Luck, don't think he's good. And Matty Ryan, overrated. So he's got some funny takes on some guys, but yeah, just his commentary, it just makes, like, the NFL must be rubbing their hands together every time he gets mic'd up.
Here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in 3 overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiffer got him 3 to the 30, to the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on the New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
All right, and finally, we make our way back to big boy season. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we discussed everyone's new favorite punter. Although, granted, I wonder how he's going in OTAs. I know he's going up against a fellow Aussie in the punting side. But, you know, I think our boy can do well. So our next big boy season, though, is Broncos rookie Quinn Miners, the center, who was taken out of a D3 college, Wisconsin Whitewater. Only the 5th D3 player to be drafted in the top 100.
Yeah, it's very impressive. He's been such a good story coming out of the draft. Like, some of the things he was doing during the offseason and how he sort of came into the picture, hilarious.
Oh, it's the best. And I think I enjoy some of the photos of him because, you know, he's a bigger guy. He's, you know, clocking in at 6'3", over 320 pounds, which, as we said in the metrics, is just over $1.45. So he's not small, to be honest. And he sort of, his frame sort of makes him look probably a bit larger than what he, I suppose stockier is the word. So, and not even the standard 2XL jerseys fit him, but he likes to wear them because he likes to, as quote unquote, let the belly breathe.
Yeah, that photo during the week was brilliant. Like, I think when they asked him in the comment, just in the chat with him, he just said, oh, yeah, the atmosphere up here is pretty low, so I just like to get the belly out to breathe. And the photo of him with his belly out is so good.
I think, and it's just awesome, sort of, as you said, his story and things like that. He obviously came from a D3 college, as he said, so he didn't get to play. Their season got cancelled for the 2020 due to COVID. Normally he was an offensive lineman, but some of the scouts had sort of been watching and he was sort of training, I believe. He got ended up just by luck getting called into the Senior Bowl as a backup sort of like center, but he just dominated the week sort of training with the guys. and they loved him. But unfortunately, he actually broke his hand during that week, so he didn't even get to play in the Senior Bowl and still managed to impress selectors that much.
Yeah, I'm really keen to see what he can do this year, purely on what you said just there. Like, if you can turn up to a place like the Senior Bowl and do a few drills, but they're not even playing the game, and you come from a D3 college where no one really goes and watches, I can't imagine there'd be many scouts at those games. His story is bloody good, and I think it's one we're very keen to watch out for this year, especially with your boys.
Oh, and I think, as we said, we do love this sort of stuff, but getting around his socials, some of his training videos of him back in his hometown, sort of lives out, I suppose, in the mountain regions, bit of the mountain man. He's got sort of a training montage that some say rival the Rocky training montage. You know, he's putting in, basically he's blocking trees with his bare hands and putting in them. He's using water coolers as dumbbells. He would chop down trees and then squat them, and then basically carrying kerosene tanks up and down hills. You know, it's just, it's all-time viewing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I think if he sits in the starting lineup or plays games, he will probably be, outside of the Ravens, he will be my favourite player to watch this year.
100%. And I think his jersey sales go up. Like, I know Justin Fields and Tim Tebow are at the top of the jersey sales at the moment, but I can see that number rising up, baby.
Yeah, we'll be flying off the shelves. Will you be buying one?
I think I might have to indulge myself, yeah. Although I am a fancy for Drew Lock. I do want to get my number 3.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
All right. Well, I think, is that us for the week?
I think that's us for this week. Thanks again, Zach, for running through it with me this week. And as always, appreciate your time.
Always a good time. We'll catch you all next week.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.